Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the June 2021 Online Home Education Conference.
All right, hello. My name is Cassandra Smith. And this class is called The Secrets Out: Public Libraries Aren't Just for Books. So thanks for joining me here today if you're live, and thanks if you're watching the recording too. I hope you can gain a lot out of this class. So just a little bit about me. I have been married to my husband for about 15 and a half years. We have two boys. The oldest is almost 14, his birthday is next week, and the younger one is 11. And so they'll be freshmen and sixth graders coming into the fall. We've done all kinds of homeschooling and public schooling, a combination of the two, but we've been exclusively homeschooling for 5 years now. And I've also kind of lived all over the country, so you can see kind of the different places I've lived. And I tell you this because I've also had library cards in like all of these places. And I say that these are just some of the library cards that I have, because I have owned in total, I think, 13 library cards over the years in all the different places I've lived. And I currently have 7. And I live in Colorado right now. And in Colorado, you can get library cards from any of the libraries in the area as long as you have a Colorado address. So it's not like by library district or whatever. So I have 7 cards, 3 of which are digital only cards. And I have never set foot in any of those 3 libraries. So you can get cards to libraries that you don't even go into. So I love libraries so much that oftentimes when I move to a new place, I get a library card sometimes before I even find a primary care physician. So like libraries are like that important to me. So they give you access to so many amazing resources and don't cost more than you're already paying in taxes. So they're awesome. Just out of curiosity, I want to see how many of you currently own an active library card. I'm just kind of curious for who's here in the room with me. Who has a library card? Oh, I'm getting a thumbs up. I was looking for the green check mark or the red X, but the thumbs up works too. Okay. Because I wanted a response from everybody. Okay, great. So some of you have a card, some of you haven't responded. That's great. Now my next question, kind of want to know, do you actively use your library card? Okay, so I got a couple thumbs up. Okay, so some of you maybe aren't using your card. That's fine. And if you use it, do you know where it is? Because I suggest if you know where it is, you go get it right now, because you might want to use it during this class. Okay. So your library stinks. I use my daughter's in Utah. Okay. That works. We can get more into that. So the nice thing about library cards is that you don't necessarily have to live in the district for the library card that you're using, because a lot of libraries offer non-resident cards, and sometimes those are available for a fee, usually for a fee, but it's well worth it, I promise. I'm gonna show you all the really cool things that libraries offer these days. Okay, so get your library card if you have one, because you might wanna use it while we're doing it. If not, you can just sign up for an electronic one too at a lot of libraries. Okay, so a little bit more about me. So I have either volunteered in or worked at a variety of libraries for most of my life, starting as early as like 5th grade. No joke, I stayed in from recess to volunteer at my school library. Like, I would much rather help put away books in the library and check in materials than go play with my classmates outside. So partly because it was raining most of the time in Oregon, but yeah, so I helped early on in the library at my elementary school. As I got older, I started working at the local public library, moved away to college and worked at the Provo City Library, and also the BYU Law School Library for a time, and also the motion picture studio for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They have a vault where they keep all of their like audiovisual materials, and this picture is actually the Granite Mountain Vault, if you've heard of that, up in the mountains there. And that's where they keep a lot of like really old archives, because it stays nice and cold in there and it helps keep them preserved. So I worked there for a time, that was cool. And then just other public libraries I volunteered at and things over the years. Also, Back in 2018, December, I completed my master's degree in library and information science. I'm not currently employed in any libraries right now because I'm focusing on homeschooling my children right now. But I got the education so that if something ever happened to my husband and I needed to get a job, I would have the qualifications to do that. And most librarian jobs require a master's degree these days. So I got that, and that was done completely online. So I've been using Zoom for a few years, kind of like Jen mentioned. She's been using Zoom for a while. So I love libraries, in case you couldn't tell. But you know who else loved libraries? Is our former prophet and president of the church, Gordon B. Hinckley. This is what he said: "I love libraries. I love books. There is something sacred, I think, about a great library because it represents the preservation of the wisdom, the learning, the pondering of men and women of all the ages accumulated together under one roof, to which we can have access as our needs require." And you'll notice there's a little LDSHE stamp on there. This is a shareable quote that you can find on the LDSHE website. So yeah, libraries are great, books are great, but that's not what libraries are all about anymore. They don't just have books. So the purpose of this presentation is to open your minds to the floodgates of what the libraries have to offer, not only inside the physical space, but also in the digital space. So just to give you a quick snapshot of libraries over the years, public libraries. So books, in case you didn't know, used to be shelved with chains. Like, they used to have chains connecting the shelf and the book to each other so that they wouldn't get stolen. Things were not really accessible. There weren't a lot of copies of things, and so they couldn't have people be taking books home. And then, we got to the awkward card catalogs that were really difficult to use, and the funny little stamp sheets with the due dates and the pockets for the card catalog things, and our really chunky early computers. So, funny little thing how, just to show you that libraries evolve over time based on the technology available and how the culture changes over time too. So, libraries have evolved just like the rest of humanity. So, catch up with the times, guys. All right. So, I want you to put in the chat what you know your library provides access to. This could be anything that your library provides access to. STEM stuff. You want to elaborate on that a little bit, Jen? Because I feel like that's really vague.
They have the one that's in our town here. So they have several different libraries around the county, but the one that's in our town, they have like this STEM room where they just have so they have 3D printing, they have different robotic stuff, they have computers set up there where you can do different digital type stuff.
Okay, cool. So, like, almost like a maker space for technology and
Yeah,
things.
actually,
Okay.
I think it's called Makerspace. Now
Okay,
that you
awesome.
mention
Okay.
it.
Okay, maker space. So Arlette says music, movies, small digital book library. And then we've got audiobooks, videos online, book lists, classes, etc., audiobooks, free rooms for co-op. Okay, ooh, I like that. I wish our library had that. I mean, they do have rooms, but not ones that we can use all day long. Cool. All right. So you guys are aware of some of the things besides books. Okay. So just be prepared to have your minds blown. So I'm going to be talking a lot. Okay. Great. Thanks. Technology equipment, cameras. Ooh, I love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. So the pictures here are of a library that's close to where I live here in Colorado. It's called Anythink. There's multiple branches in the area. This particular one is the Wright Farms branch. And so a lot of the pictures that I'm using come from this and also from the Broomfield Library in Colorado also. So anyway, these are just some pictures real quick of the inside and outside of that. And I'm just going to touch really quick on all of these brief things of what's offered inside, and we're going to go deeper. So I just want to give you a little snapshot here. So anyway, physical materials inside the library. We've got all kinds of services and programs offered inside the library. And outside the library, or maybe not inside the physical space, but maybe on their online space, they have lots of access to different digital materials and resources, databases and things, and passes to local attractions. We call these cultural passes. Now, I just want to make a disclaimer that some of the images that I show up here are just going to have like pictures of various materials and things. And they might have titles that you may or may not agree with. It doesn't matter. My point is just to show the collection. I'm not endorsing any specific title or type of material. I'm just showing you what's available. I'm also not getting paid by any library or company or whatever to give this presentation. I'm doing it because I love you all and want you to have access to all this free information. That's amazing. So here we go. A little bit closer look at what we have to offer inside the libraries. So yes, of course, they have books, but they have all different types of books. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the types of books, but just know that there's some for every age and stage of life and all different types of genres. They're there and ready and available for you. There's even a special little homeschooling section at some libraries, you know? But with books, they oftentimes have them, some libraries have them grouped into like pre-prepared bags. Anyway, so the ones on the left are like for kids and for parents and things. And sometimes they're grouped by like subject, like this bag is all about dinosaurs and this one's all about unicorns or whatever. So there's different bags grouped for like a story time theme, or sometimes they're even grouped in like difficult subjects that can help open up conversations with the younger kids, like maybe divorce. There's a bag about divorce, or maybe there's a bag about moving, or a bag about a new sibling or something. So they have these pre-selected items that are grouped together in these bags to help you just grab and go and like do a little story time discussion with your family at home. The one on the right is book group bags. So you'll have multiple copies of the same title. You just check out the whole bag, distribute all the copies to your book group friends, and that you all read it together. They probably even have like discussion questions like in the bag and things. So they're super, super handy. Like if you have a book club that you're a part of, and sometimes it's hard to find all the copies. And a lot of the books that are selected for these bags are generally really good discussion books anyway. So those are available at some libraries. So check your library, it might have it. Some other physical materials that they have at the library are audiobooks on CD. Anybody else still use a CD player? I use it sometimes in my car, but since I started like streaming stuff on my phone, I almost never use a CD player anymore, but they are there and you are certainly welcome to borrow those. This other one is a playaway. Has anybody heard of a playaway before or know what it is?
I've seen them at our library. That was the first I'd ever seen. They're kind of like Game Boys kind of things, right?
Yeah. Almost. I mean, there's no screen really, aside from like where you have like the time
books,
lapse
though, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah, they're books, but yeah.
Yeah, so they're audio books all in one little device. And all you have to do is plug in your headphones or your speaker or your audio jack connected to your car radio or whatever. And you can listen to it. It's got a battery in it and it usually comes with a battery. Maybe it needs to be replaced while you're borrowing it, but I think generally they have an extra one, maybe. I don't remember. Anyway, every library might do it differently. But the whole audiobook is on that little playaway device. And you can change the playback speed if you want. So some people like to listen to things a little bit faster, like me, because I can process a lot faster than sometimes people can speak. So I like to speed up the playback speed a little bit. And you can't do that with audio books on CD. So yeah, that's a really nice thing. And one thing I wanted to mention about playaways is because they're not super well known is that sometimes if there's like a book that comes out, or even if it's been out for a while, there's a book that's just really popular and the wait list is super long to get it. See if there's a playaway for it, because a lot of people don't know about playaways and you might, the wait list, if there is one, will be significantly shorter possibly for the playaway. Yes, they are great for car rides. The playaways, I'm assuming you're talking about. So, of course, there's also music CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays and even video games. So if you have a kid that's into video games and they want to try out a game, but they don't know if they want to buy it, you know, maybe the library has it. You can try it before you buy it kind of deal. Or if you're really fast, beat the whole game before you take it back. So anyway, the thing about these materials is sometimes the loan period is a little bit different. It might be shorter than like checking out a book, for instance. And sometimes you can't put holds on the video games. It just depends. Each library is different. So those lots of entertainment options there for physical materials. Now this next one is super, super cool. It's new. Again, this is through the AnyThink library. I've never seen this done anywhere else before this spring. So this is new, and maybe your libraries are starting to do something similar. It's a subscription box. So think like Kiwi Crate, where you get a box every month with stuff in it or whatever to like build something. But this is like books, library materials that they select based on a form that you fill out for each child. So let's say your child's into like dinosaurs and skateboarding and, you know, graphic novels, whatever. Like, you can fill out this form and then they'll carefully select books that would potentially pique the interest of that child. And then there's also a little thing that they let you keep. In this one, there was a packet of seeds that they got to keep. The materials are automatically checked out for the loan period of 3 weeks for this particular library when the box arrives at the house, and you just take it back whenever you're done. And you can renew it too if you want to keep it longer. And then the other gift you just get to keep. So they write a little note to the kid every time, and just, it's just super cool. And I think there's like a wait list right now for this one, but they're looking to, you know, raise funds and expand it a little bit more. So that's a cool option. Okay, ready for this next one? Somebody mentioned the technology equipment and cameras and stuff. Now, is that stuff that could be borrowed, or is that stuff that you use in the library? Before COVID, our library was doing a whole shelf surprise based on a similar idea that you fill out a survey and then the libraries pick something out for you. Oh, that's really cool. I like that. Morgan, can you turn on the mic if you don't mind and answer, does your library let people take home technology equipment and cameras and stuff, or is it only for use inside?
Depending on the equipment, most of it was take homeable.
Okay, cool.
But they also had like, what are those called? Anyway, like preservation stations, I guess, maybe, where you like can transfer, or digital transformation stations where you can like transfer your information from VHS to DVD or from slide to digital pictures kind of thing. And you like could reserve a space for that. But yeah, they had some cameras and like kind of different vlogging or blogging equipment to make YouTube, fancy YouTube videos. And anyway, I've never never done it myself necessarily, but I was like, oh, that'll be fun if one day we need to get into the video production or something
awesome.
Like that.
Love it. Okay, so I asked if you could check it out because some libraries have what's called the Library of Things. And this the images on this slide are from the Hillsborough Public Library, where I used to work years ago, and my parents still live close there, so I know about it that way. But this is just a small snapshot of what people can check out and take home. So like for each one of those images, there's probably hundreds of items that people can take home and borrow, like all different types of arts and crafts materials and bigware and board games. Like, we had that awesome class with Arlette yesterday about board games, so probably a lot of the games she talked about were available there. I put in the chat the link to the Library Things if you're curious to see what this particular library is offering. But it's mind-boggling, like, how much they're offering. Like, even this events and parties thing, like, yeah, you can check out a popcorn machine or a chocolate fountain, or, you know, it's like crazy awesome that you can check out any of these items. And again, you can put like holds and stuff on that too. And I'll get more into holds in a little bit, but yeah, crazy awesome that it's not just books, guys. We have like all kinds of stuff we can check out. It's awesome. And again, not everybody, not all libraries offer it, unfortunately, but you can ask your library to start it. And I think this particular Library of Things got started because somebody had a collection of baking pans that they no longer wanted or needed, and they just donated it to the library. They said, do you guys want these to, I don't know, circulate or something? And they're like, sure. And I think it just exploded from there. So it's just crazy awesome that they're doing that. Yeah, it is super cool. So yeah, it's just seriously, go bug your libraries and like say, hey, can we do Library Things? Okay, so away from the materials now, I'm moving on to the surfaces. So I briefly mentioned holds, And maybe a lot of you are familiar with Hold already. Somebody mentioned that they had a Hold surprise shelf. And so basically that's where you can request items from the library to be pulled off the shelves for you and put at a special location near the front of the library that you can just go and pick up anywhere. Yes, you can check out a hotspot at some libraries. Even libraries that don't have Library of Things have hotspots available and laptops for checkout. Yeah, so back to the holds. A couple of nice things about holds is, like, if you're part of a library system that's connected with other libraries in the area, you can request books from those other libraries to be sent to the one that's closest to where you live. So you don't have to drive across town to get the materials that you're looking for. So you can request them to be sent to your close library, your home library, and pick them up there. Also, even if it's at your home library, you can put it on hold and you don't have to go find it in the library. Just let the library staff navigate the Dewey Decimal System and pull it off the shelves for you. And maybe you guys all know how to use the Dewey Decimal System anyway, but it's just nice. It's a nice time saver. And if there's a wait list, you'll just be added to the bottom of the wait list and eventually you'll make it to the top and it will get put on the hold shelf when it is available for you.
So. Our library has a drive-thru. So I, when my kids were little and it was just too stressful to take them all in, I would just reserve the books that I needed, put them on hold at the drive-thru, and I just drive through and get them.
I love that your library does that and that you mentioned that, because, like, not all libraries do that, but a lot of them started doing curbside pickup because of COVID. And I'm hoping a lot of them will just keep that going, because I think, you know, for those moms with a sleepy toddler in the car seat, they don't want to get out of the car. Just have the book spread out. Like, it's super convenient. So yes, drive-thrus. Yeah, there's a few that have drive-thrus. I think that Anything Right Farms has a drive-thru also, which is just super cool. Like, super cool, guys. They're not the same as they used to be. Library's awesome. Okay, the next one I want to talk about was Lucky Day Shelf. Okay, I'm just reading your comment, Arlette. So we love digital checkouts because my daughters and I can read the same books even while we're completely in different states. The digital audiobooks are really awesome. Yay, I'm glad you love the audio stuff on digital format, because we'll get to that. I'm still in the physical realm right now though, Arlette. You're jumping ahead. Okay, so for the Lucky Day Shelf.
We've been quarantined too long. Who actually goes into a library right now?
But I'm weird, so... Okay, so the Lucky Day Shelf, this is for items that are, like, really, really popular, and, like, the wait lists are, like, 200 people long, and you're never going to get it, you know, in this lifetime or as long as you're living in that area. So, like, the Lucky Day Shelf is, like, you walk into the library, you see what is available right then and there, because they are not holdable and they're not renewable, so they only get them for the regular set loan period, and then they come back. So if there's a really awesome popular item that's hard to get a hold of because there's a really long wait list, you might check the Lucky Day Shelf and see if it's there. Then there's also self-checkout options. And of course they have, like, the library staff that can help check out your materials also. But the self-checkout's fun, especially for the little kids, because they get to pretend to be library staff and, like, scan the laser on the barcode and on all the books and things. And it's just super fun. They oftentimes have stools right there next to it so they can reach too. So that's a fun option for the littles to check out their own materials. All right, a few more services we have are computer labs. Oftentimes they're reservable and, like, for 1 or 2 hour periods or whatever. And printers. Now, a lot of libraries offer free printing allowances, like, every week or every month. It just depends, where you can, let's say you get, like, $5 worth of printing for free every month. So if you don't have a printer at home, or if you want to make color prints and you don't have a color printer at home, you could maybe do it at the library for free instead of going to Staples like I used to do or usually do. I just forgot that the libraries offer free printing. So there's printing. And one of your most amazing resources inside the library are the librarians themselves. They have been trained. They have master's degrees. They have to have master's degrees anymore. This librarian is Zamara. She works at the Broomfield Library in Colorado. She was super sweet to let me take her picture after I told her what I was doing. But yeah, they know how to find information. And if they don't know how to, if they can't find the information, they can probably find somebody that can help you find the information. So don't be afraid to ask them about certain materials or how to use the library or different resources that might be there. Printing isn't free at your library, but it's still cheaper than copy centers. Yeah, it usually is. Thanks for pointing that out, Morgan. Yeah, so yeah, not all libraries offer the free printing, but some do. So it might be worth looking into to see if there are like printing allowances that they give you. Oh, and one more thing about librarians. So even if you don't go into the physical space, a lot of libraries have a chat with a librarian feature on their website where you can have a live chat with somebody online to get your questions answered. So I've used that feature before too. So it's another option. Okay, so this next one is, yes, they have lots of cool materials and services and things, but they also have awesome spaces. So the play areas have been kind of scaled down to have less touchy things right now with COVID, but a lot of libraries have like play things and stuff that the kids can interact with. So right now they're kind of scaled down, but hopefully those will be brought back with more things like magnet tiles and stuff like my son used to play with a lot. And then they have like comfortable seating areas with fireplaces. They have study rooms. So Mindy mentioned using rooms for co-ops. So a lot of places have different limits on how long you can use a study room and things. So you'll have to look into your individual library before that. But most libraries will have study spaces, study rooms for small groups. And then just more comfortable seating areas and even areas outside. They have seating areas outside. So lots of cool places to play, study, visit with other people. Then we also talked a little bit about some maker spaces. So this is again at Anything Right Farm. Sorry, the pictures are so dark. The rooms were locked. And so I was taking it through the window of the room. So it's a little bit dark, sorry. So this picture is of the soundproof recording room. So you can like actually do audio recordings. People do podcasts or music jams or whatever in there. It's a reservable space. And then they also have a maker space with like 3D printers and sewing machines and like Crickets and video editing and graphic editing computers and software and just all kinds of stuff. Like if you want to make something, they probably have the equipment in this space. Yes, this library is awesome. Like seriously legit. If you come to Colorado, make Anything Right Farms like on your list of places to go, because it is seriously one of the coolest places ever. Actually, before I moved to Colorado, in one of my library science classes, somebody referenced the Anything Library in Colorado. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And so when I moved here and I went there, I was like, oh, this is amazing. So it was, yeah, super, super cool. Yeah, and I think it's totally fair and okay for you guys to go to your local libraries and request these services to be provided. Like they're always looking for ways to like expand and serve their patrons. So if you're like, I want this in my library, please make this happen or whatever, like they're open to making things available. So also with the makerspace, sometimes they have these little pre-made kits for taking home. This one is a Shrinky Dink keychain kit that we actually did take home. And my 11-year-old had fun making his last week. So it's super cool. They just like everything's right there in the bag. All the directions, all the materials were right there. And we just took it home and did it. So lots of cool stuff. And they do classes and open studios sometimes too. Come for a visit, Arlette. We could totally hang out. We'll go play at the library and then play board games. All right. So a few more services I want to point out. So they have, some libraries have like an automatic check-in thing. You just put one item in at a time and it checks it in and like you can't see it, but inside there's like a conveyor belt and it like will pre-sort like all the materials based on where they're going. It's like really cool. A lot of libraries do tours. You should totally ask for a behind the scenes tour. So yeah, it automatically checks in things. So a lot of libraries, I think a lot of people actually stopped using libraries because of the dreaded overdue fees, the fines, right? Anybody else like, I don't want to go to the library because I'm so embarrassed. I have all these fees. But the good news is that most libraries these days have nixed the overdue fines. They're no longer charging overdue fees and they've waived all existing fees. So, and even some libraries might even offer like fine forgiveness, like if you bring in canned foods or read a certain number of books. I don't know. Every library might have their own program, but look into either fine forgiveness options, or that your library just might not do fines at all anymore anyway. So super cool. They just noticed that patrons didn't want to use the library anymore because of all the fines. They're like, let's just get rid of the fines. So of course, if you lost an item or it's super late and you don't renew it, then they might charge you like a replacement fee. But there's no overdue fines at many libraries these days. So with all that money that you're saving from not paying for overdue fines, check out the local cafe. It's inside the library for reals. This is the Anythink Right Farms Cafe. So you can like get a little bite to eat and enjoy the library for like the whole day. It's just awesome. Okay, so that's the services. Anythink is multiple libraries. Like I think there's, there might be like 6 branches or something in lots of different areas in the North Denver area. I mean, it's kind of like a county library. I don't think it's not privately owned. It's a public library. Like anybody can use it. And I don't even live in the district for these libraries, but I have a card because it's a Colorado library. And that's just the way the Colorado library system works. Is you have a Colorado address, you can get a card there. So yeah, come for a visit, guys. Like this is a really cool field trip for reals. Okay, so programs. I don't want to spend a lot of time. Oh wait, this looks very similar to the Arapaho libraries, which are the county on the south side of Denver. Yeah, it could be. Could be. I have a card to Arapaho libraries, but I haven't really used it much. That's actually one of the digital cards I have. Yeah, Colorado libraries are pretty on top of it, especially Anythink. Again, not all libraries are created equal. I can't speak as highly of all libraries as I can of Anythink, but they definitely know what they're doing there. All right, so programs. I don't want to go into a ton of detail on this because, again, every library is going to be different. And I invite you to go check out what your library is offering. With COVID, a lot of programs went virtual, and now they're kind of doing a mixture of like in-person and virtual activities. So programs, all right. So like they have programs for all ages and all different types. Like they have the pictures that I'm showing you are from different programs that we've attended over the years. The first two are from Noon Year's Eve party or something. So they had a balloon drop at noon on New Year's Eve. And so they also had like comic book characters that were there. This is only showing Spider-Man, but they had like Batman and Wonder Woman and a bunch of others too. And then they also oftentimes have performers, especially during summer reading program time, which is starting up in a lot of places right now. And they also have like read to dog programs oftentimes. And this one was actually the Denver Museum of Nature and Science came in and brought in a bunch of like hands-on exhibits inside the library. So it was like a traveling part of the museum that they brought into the library for a program. So it was super cool for that too. So yeah, this is all showing kids stuff, but they have stuff for teens, they have stuff for adults, movie nights, concerts, dance performances, author visits, this is all kinds of stuff. So just check out what your individual libraries offer, either in person or virtual. Okay, let's take a little break. That was all the physical stuff. Now we're gonna step outside the library and take a look at what they're offering digitally. Now I wanna try to spend the rest of the time is pretty much going to be spent on this, but every library is different again. So your library may or may not have each and every one of these. Most all of them will have Libby and Hoopla. Those are like the top two and they're really great. So if you don't know about Libby and Hoopla, I highly suggest you download them both right now onto your phone and use it. So just, you can open up your library's website and just kind of poke around and see what they have to offer. And if you're curious about anything in particular, I can maybe talk on that one a little bit, but I'm just going to highlight some of the general ones. So Libby is actually owned and operated by Overdrive. So if you're familiar with Overdrive, it's Libby's just the app for that one. And it's ebooks and e-audiobooks. You can put holds on it. You can download it right there onto your device so that you can listen to it without having to use up data on your phone if you're on your phone. You can also, of course, listen to it on your computer if you prefer, or other mobile devices they have apps for. You can have multiple library cards connected to your Libby account. So let's say if you're like me and you have 7 cards at a time, you can put those all on there. Or if there's like 7 people in your family, you could put everybody's card on there. So you can do it from different libraries. You can do it from different family members. You can all like have it in the same spot. And I think like Arlette was saying that they're enjoying the same books on their own devices through these apps. So that's really cool. Also with Libby, if you like to read on a Kindle device, you can send the audio, or excuse me, the ebook to the Kindle on a lot of them. They have Kindle versions. Yeah, Libby links to your Kindle. Yes, yes. So super, super, super handy if you prefer, you know, like sometimes the phone can get kind of glary and hard on the eyes, but if you have the paper style Kindle, like it's super nice to be able to read it that way. I think, yeah, you can place holds on these. So one thing I want to mention about, if you have multiple library cards to different libraries, just note that the collections available through each card could be different. So like if there's one book that I can get through this library, it may or may not be offered at this library. And similarly, if it's available at both libraries and there's a wait list on both of them, maybe the wait list is shorter on one than it is on the other. So it's worth checking all the different libraries if you have multiple library cards to see if there's maybe a way you can get a copy faster. And with Libby, I think there's a limit to how many you can have borrowed or on hold at a time, depending on the library. So yeah, that's Libby. Now Hoopla Digital, it also has ebooks and e-audio books that you can download and stream off your, or play off your device or computer. But they also have music, like they've got soundtracks or popular music or whatever, all different kinds of albums on there. And they also have movies and TV shows. And if you have heard of Great Courses or use it, like Great Courses are also on Hoopla. So some people like go and pay big money to get the Great Courses videos, but you don't have to if you get them through Hoopla. And Hoopla also has limits. It's monthly limits at Hoopla, like, and every library is different. Some might have 7 limits per month. Some might have 10 or 20. It just depends. So it's just you get a certain number of borrows for the month, and then that's it. It resets at the beginning of each month. Okay. The next one I was going to touch on was Tumble Books or Tumble Math. So Tumble Books, it's kind of like a read-along thing. You do it on your computer. I think they have an app too, so if you want to do it on the go, you can do that. But they like put the like picture books or chapter books that put the like page up on the screen, and then they'll highlight the text like one sentence at a time or something as somebody else is reading it aloud. You can also read it yourself if you prefer. You can turn off the read aloud part and just do it yourself. And sometimes they have like music and sound effects like incorporated into it to make it a little more engaging. So those are super fun. And the Tumble Math one is just an extension where it's just math books. So this is great, I think, for people that are emerging readers, especially, you know, they can see that highlighted text and kind of follow along. So yeah, that's Tumble Books. And it could be also available in Spanish and French. So if you're trying to learn Spanish or French, or your children are trying to learn Spanish or French, it might be good to like have somebody else read in a native voice and get used to how things are pronounced and things as they follow along. Okay, the next one I was going to touch on was BookFlix. This is similar to Tumble Books, but this one's more like, if you ever saw those Scholastic videos where it was like Westwoods, I think that's what it was. Anyway, so they have like these picture books that the like camera kind of pans across the page and somebody's reading it or whatever. That's what BookFlix is. It's those Scholastic videos up there. But they also oftentimes pair up companion books that are related to the same topic and activity pages and things. So that's a nice resource. I skipped over Canopy. It does have videos and things. I just personally don't use it very much. I haven't found it super useful for me, but if you like to find different videos, there's some on there. Just, I would caution you to not just let your kids go on there because there could be some questionable material pop up. And also on Hoopla, there is a kids mode on Hoopla that you can enable if you want your kids having safe browsing. Okay, Freegle. That's another one of my favorites. So Freegle is all about music, and I think they have music videos too. I haven't really used that, but they have like 2 hours of free commercial free streaming every day. And you can make your own playlist. They have pre-made playlists that you can listen to and stream. You can also get a designated number of free music downloads every single week. Some libraries offer like 3, some offer like 5, but every single week. And you can get reminder emails to remind you, oh, you still have some downloads remaining this week. So you can get those downloads and keep them forever. So every week you can get free music through Freegle. So it's super, super cool. Not every library offers the free streaming, but I don't think we've paid for music for years. Yeah. Again, so every library is different. So yeah, there's the service and maybe the access to that service could vary. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out. All right. And then Flipster has magazines. There's also RB Digital, which also does digital magazines. Some other online resources that you might have access to are some language learning ones like Rosetta Stone, which is a super awesome language learning program. I highly recommend it. But I would say that with Rosetta Stone through the library, oftentimes it's only level one. So if you're past level one, you might just have to go buy the program anyway, or the subscription or whatever. But if you want to try something out, that's a really good way to do it. Mango Languages is another language learning program available through many libraries. It's similar, I don't know, it's a little bit more audio than it is like, Rosetta Stone has pictures where you kind of click on and things. Mango Languages is more about listening and repeating and things, as far as I know. I mean, it's been a while since I used it. But I will point out that if you want a fun afternoon activity, go on to Mango Languages and learn how to speak pirate. You can learn things like batten down the hatches, mateys, and things like that. So if you want to learn how to speak pirate for, I think there's Pirate Speaking Day or something in September, like that would be a fun activity. Pronunciator is another one. It's similar to Rosetta Stone, but I find it a lot more awkward and clunky to use, but it's there maybe for your library. I don't know, but Rosetta Stone and Mango are fun. Okay, some more. Oh, there's so many. And your libraries are probably all offering different things too. But some common ones are LinkedIn Learning. It used to be called lynda.com. That's for like learning how to do all kinds of like business type skills or software type skills. They have things about teaching how to use Adobe products or how to do marketing or how to build a business. Like there's all kinds of incredibly useful videos on there to learn how to do things. Udemy is similar to that. I just saw a LinkedIn ad on our library webpage. Awesome. Yeah. And so, and actually some of the libraries used to offer LinkedIn Learning, but then discontinued it after the acquisition from Lynda to LinkedIn because of like library privacy policies or something. So not everybody's going to be offering that one anymore, but some still do. And Udemy by Gale Courses is similar with how-to videos, lots of options on there. Creative Bug, if you are a crafty person or you have crafty people in your family, they will want to check out Creative Bug because that's like all like how-to tutorials and step-by-step things, online, on-demand arts and craft classes that they can follow along with or activities. So Creative Bug is fun. Consumer Reports, so I mean, usually all of these things are usually like a pay for service, but they're provided free through the library with a library card. So you can log in with your library card to any of these. So Consumer Reports, you can find reviews and ratings and recommendations and buying advice for all different kinds of products for purchase. Novelist is great if you're looking for book lists or if you want to find a read alike. You're like, I really like this book. What can I read that's similar to this? So you can type in the title and it will give you some suggestions of read-alikes that you might enjoy. And they also have resources for discussion groups and curriculum and things. And then there's also oftentimes academic journals like EBSCOhost or Social Sciences Full Text or Psychology and Behavioral Sciences. Like they just, all of those like hardcore academic article type databases are offered there. This is a back away. So Canopy is mostly independent films and documentaries. They do also have some great courses too, though. I agree with the caution though. It does not aim to a younger audience. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't dabbled in Canopy a lot, but yeah, you're great. You're right about that. It's mostly independent stuff and documentaries. There is some cool stuff on there. I remember seeing about like national parks and stuff. So that would be worth looking at. And I think I've done some like other country stuff through there too. But yeah, caution. Don't let your kids just get on Canopy. Okay. I'm going to skip over maybe some of these other ones for the sake of time, just because I want to get on to some other things. But poke around. Ancestry.com, we are family history buffs, right? Like, not everything's available on Family Search, but you can find a lot of materials on Ancestry, and some libraries offer free access to Ancestry.com through the library with a library card. All right, cultural passes. Now, this is super, 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 super cool. Like, I used to get museum passes, you know, like the annual museum passes that you can use for a year, and like you go maybe three times or whatever, like, is it worth it? So the cultural passes, again, not necessarily available at every library, but it provides access to local attractions in your area. So these are just pictures of some of the places that we have gone with cultural passes from the library. And each pass is different. It might allow, like, you know, five people in, or it might only allow two people in, and everybody else has to pay a discounted rate or whatever. But the point is that it helps you get into some really amazing places for either free or significantly cheaper. And usually with these cultural passes, you can get one pass per location per calendar year. So you can go to each of the places once per calendar year for every library card. So what does that mean? Well, if there's five people in your family and everybody has a library card, everybody can get a pass once. So you can go to the same library or zoo or museum or whatever, like, yeah, same museum. Anyway, as many times as you want, as long as you have like the card. And there are oftentimes limits to how many passes are available. So you sometimes have to like look at the calendar and see which passes are available when, and maybe plan ahead a little bit. Now, also with the COVID pandemic, some places paused their offerings of the cultural passes, but some people just modified it a little bit. So like, okay, yes, you can get the pass, but then you have to go to the place's own website or call them or whatever to reserve an entry time. So there's kind of an extra step that you have to go through right now with kind of the pandemic still going on, but it's a really awesome thing. So these are just some cool places we've been. Here's a few more places we've been here in the Colorado area. Of course, we've been in Oregon when we lived there. We went to lots of different places also. So yeah, just cool, cool places. I'm curious, does anybody have cultural passes where they are? Or do you know, are you discovering it and you're searching?
I just tried searching the
website
library and I didn't see anything. I don't think we do.
Yeah, sometimes they don't.
In Hawaii, they might have.
Hold on.
In Maryland, I don't think so.
Yeah, and maybe not at your library, but maybe like another library in the area does. Because I have a friend that lives in Virginia, and her local libraries don't have cultural passes, but like the ones like closest to her, but like in a few towns over, they do. And she can get a card there and get the passes. So you might branch out to other libraries in your area to see
if
they have them.
Now, once you pay for the annual pass, I feel like once you pay for the annual pass for the other libraries, it's like, it kind of negated the one visit.
Well, I mean, maybe it depends on like how much you're using that non-resident card, right? Because like, yeah. If you already have access to all the other things except for the cultural passes, then maybe getting it for the sake of the cultural pass may not be worth it. And if you have to pay the non-resident fee, then you probably only want to get one card, right? And so that limits you to just one time for the year. But sometimes that's all we really need per location anyway. But if you think about it, like going to the Denver Museum of Nature and Science would probably cost us easy $50 to go one time, you know? And if a non-resident pass for a library or a non-resident card is like $100, you could, you know, do the Denver Museum once, and then you could go to like the Botanic Gardens another time. You know, if you could plan it out and have it like all zero out eventually anyway. But yeah, you definitely want to count your costs and see if it's worth it. So I was just looking at the comments here. I don't know where you are, but in Indiana and California they did. Okay. There are also sometimes limits on using digital cards to reserve the cultural passes. You might have to live in the library districts for them. Oh, that could be. I haven't discovered that personally, but that could be. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, always read the fine print. Make sure you know the rules and things, especially if you're going to invest in a non-resident card. You want to make sure that you're going to be able to use it for what you're hoping to use it for. So, few tips I wanted to touch on for maximizing the use of your library card in your homeschooling. So I touched on a lot of this throughout the presentation, but I might just reiterate some of it too. So I recommend getting a library card for every member of your family, just mostly so that you can have more access to like free printing or the cultural passes. If your library has the cultural passes, you can use it more often. You don't necessarily have to let everybody check out their own materials on their card unless you want to give them that responsibility. You can, but for me, I find it easier to just put all the materials checked out on my personal card. I can keep track of it better that way. But if you want them to have access to the free printing and the cultural passes, it's awesome to do that. Or even the digital libraries like Libby and Hoopla, that gives you more borrows that you can have access to. And it doesn't cost anything unless you're getting a non-resident card. So the non-resident cards, again, if your library doesn't offer very much, but a close by one does, you might consider getting a non-resident card, like especially for the digital materials. Like most libraries will let you utilize the digital materials. So if yours only has like 5 online resources, but the one in like even another state has like hundreds, maybe just get that non-resident card just so you can have access to all of those online resources. Okay, and then putting things on hold. Oh wait, no, I skipped something, sorry. The curriculum, you might be able to find materials in the library of a different curriculum and thing. Like I know I've seen Life of Fred books at the library before that can be borrowed, practice test books for like the CATs or even like the ACT or SAT. There's different testing materials you can get there. Of course, there's also biographies and atlases and plays and science and history books and homeschooling philosophy. Like there's all kinds of materials you can find to augment or just use in your homeschooling, and that could be physical or digital. Again, then placing things on hold, you can have things shipped from other libraries or just have the library staff pull it from your own local library so you don't have to do it. Maybe there's even curbside pickup or drive-through like some people have. Super awesome options there to just make it quick in and out of the library. And then mobile apps are super, super helpful for those audiobooks and ebooks when you're on the go and things. So I would definitely recommend downloading those apps and then, you know, loading up all the library cards you have to the Libby one, especially. And then to also, yeah, just check the different libraries for what's available. Download the books so that you don't use your data. Then ask a librarian. Seriously, they love to help. Ask a librarian. She can help. You know, just like President Nelson said, ask the missionary. They can help. A librarian can help. They have the training and the skills to help you find the information you're looking for. A lot of them have, you know, obviously the desk, you know, in the library, but they also have sometimes online chats that you can do. So that's an option also. So in the chat, along with placing things on hold, librarians can help you with interlibrary loans. Yes, if you have very specific resources you want. For us, it was German children's books. Very cool. Yeah, so interlibrary loans is like borrowing from libraries that are outside of your library system. And that's a really nice option too. All right, so that's what I have for you guys. If you have any questions, come join me in the Q&A breakout room and we can answer those questions. There's also my email address, cassandra.smith@ldshe.org, and you can contact me there. Thanks for joining me, guys. This has been great.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.